That don't matter.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a show for the rubes, by the rubes, talking all things Power Trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets, and David, the one and only Power Trip Quotes. They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. This show is in no way, shape, or form sponsored by, affiliated with, or even tolerated by the Power Trip, KFAN, or iHeartMedia. In fact, we'd be willing to bet that Chad Abbott never listens to a single episode. And now, here are your hosts, Chuck and David.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, episode number 37. I'm your co-host, Chuck, otherwise known as Power Trip Bets.
And I'm Dave, Power Trip Quotes.
All right, and on this lovely Tuesday evening, there is nothing better than giving our number one fan, Lou Cove, a live twin score update. Lou, they are up 5-3 over the Mets right now. So I texted you to come on the podcast. Don't think you responded to my text yet. So I was going to get your live reaction, but in the meantime, we'll just say the Twins are up 5-3 right now, so go Twins.
Nothing beats giving podcast live updates to baseball games to 80 or 90 year olds.
It's perfect. It's the way to go. So on tonight's podcast, we are going to do a bets update. We'll be talking NCAA bets, of course, with the NCAA championship just wrapping up, and we'll look ahead to the Masters that's this week. We got three great quotes for you. In your thoughts tonight, we are going to go down memory lane and revisit when the Alaskan pipeline was born. And then, stealing from the Power Trip, Dave and I are going to do our live on-air reactions to the gymnastics breaks her legs video. Neither one of us has seen this. I was going to watch it yesterday, and then I thought, you know, this might be a fun bit to do on the podcast. So it should be fun. If it's worse than Crum Rye, like that was a pretty interesting bar that they set when they were like, it's way worse than the Crum Rye, because I remember watching the Crum Rye as a kid. So we'll see what that has to entail. But we'll start tonight, as always, with a bets update.
Here's this week in Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets, though.
Where's Power Trip Bets when you need him?
Ask I Power bet. Trip Bets.
Is Power Trip Bets drunk?
You want to bet?
So, Corey and Sauce bet two Caniacs on the over-under in the NCAA championship game, and it looked for a while like neither team was even going to get to 20. Sauce had the under, Corey took the over because he felt it was a historically low over-under. It's got to go over. And it quickly turned around. It went over easily, and then it went to overtime, and it absolutely killed the over. So Corey had two Caniacs from Sauce wrapped up before the game was even over. Of course, the bigger question with the NCAA championship game was who was going to win the core for four, the core versus the four. Lieber had already clinched that because after Virginia eliminated Auburn on Saturday, Lieber had all three remaining teams, so he had clinched that Saturday. The question came down to would Tommy and Sauce both win with Virginia, or would Corey beat them if Texas Tech prevailed? And of course, Virginia won in overtime. So Ben, Sauce, and Tommy all won the core versus four. Rosie and Hawk both lost, so the net effect of that was Corey also lost $100. So core versus four, 2 years in a row that the four got the better of core. Last year he lost 100, and this year he lost 100. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how it broke down, too, because only one number one seed made the final four, and going into the tournament, Duke, you know, as such a heavy favorite, and obviously everyone was going to take Duke except for Lieber. So it's funny that Corey lost overall in the bet, and yet Duke didn't even make the final four.
Right, and think of all the bullets that Virginia dodged to get there. I mean, they were trailing by 14 to Gardner-Webb in round one. the Purdue game, the Auburn game, the championship game. I mean, they just dodged bullet after bullet after bullet. So Corey came very close to winning that big time, but in the end, Virginia got their win. So we'll see what happens next year with the four versus the core. I'm sure he'll offer it again, because most years, you know, he's definitely at the advantage. It just has not worked out the last two for him. So
yeah, college basketball was really weird this year. Also, I have a Tommy.
Oh!
Part. So going back to the Corey and Sauce over under bet.
Yes.
I was so confident in the under that it made so much sense. I broke it all down. You know, the averages, they're both defensive teams and everything. So I was so confident in the under that I took the over. I understand to many non-sports bettors, like, this doesn't make sense. But if you do bet on sports, this makes complete sense.
Do the opposite.
Exactly.
Paul Charchian would be proud of you. All right. Well, the next, we got no other new bets this week, but we will have new bets by the time this is posted. They will have made their Masters bet, because that's a typical Wednesday before the Masters bet. It's a tradition unlike any other when the Power Trip is betting on the Masters. We'll see how many people join this year. A lot of people call in via the phone to get their bets in. Typically how they do it, of course, is they just do a draw to see what order they go in. So they'll put everybody's name in a hat. They'll draw them out to establish the order, and then everybody just gets to pick their top golfer of the golfers that are remaining. Of course, it won't matter for hockey, because I'm sure he'll pick Lee Trevino to win the Masters this year. But we'll see how it all shakes out. The other side of it is also, don't forget about the two golfers, one core bet, where each of the five guys picked two golfers. They get them for all four majors. So this is major number one, of course, the Masters. If anybody of any of their golfers wins the core, the two golfers won core, if they win one major this year, they win the bet against Corey, so they win $100. If both their golfers fail to win any of the majors, Corey wins the $100. So be interesting to see how that shakes out this weekend. And of course, I'll be updating both the Masters bet and the two golfers won core bets as the weekend progresses. What are your thoughts on Masters betting for this weekend? Who do you like? Do you like the favorites? Do you like the long shots? Where are you at?
So I like a couple of the favorites. I'm a big golf guy, for those who don't know. And I know this tournament backwards and forwards. This is prime nap season this weekend, watching the Masters to Jim Nance. I took Spieth at the sportsbook in Planet Hollywood. I put a couple of dollars on him to win at 20. I think it was 24-1 is my ticket. He's moved down to 16-1. Spieth always plays well there. He hasn't played that well as of late, but that's kind of his track. Also, you got to look at Francesco Molinari. He's performed well in the last five or six majors, and in the Ryder Cup, he was basically an MVP for Europe. He's at 20-1. I really like him. Brooks Koepka at 25-1. He won two majors last year, and he only played in three. Somehow missed the Masters. I forgot what for last year, if it was an injury or what. So I kind of like the middle of the pack guys. A couple of my dark horses are Hideki Matsuyama at 35-1. Also, Charlie Hoffman played really well last week. He took top three. He's at 80-1. And then Siwoo Kim, which is a great story if you guys want to. There's a bunch of articles about that. He's from Korea. He had to stop professional golf for a couple, I think it was a year and a half, and he's forced to serve in the military, and has come back and has really lit up the PGA Tour. So those are kind of my dark horses and favorites for this week.
Okay. Yeah, I looked at the field. I'm definitely more on some of the longer odds as well. Because Rory's sitting there at 7-1, but
a sucker bet.
It's not enough value for me to actually put money on it, and I'm not gonna actually bet any of these. But if I were to, if I had a gun to my head and I had to bet, I would start out with Henrik Stenson at 60-1. He's definitely one of those top 10 Masters guys. Can he close it out? Maybe, but I think Stenson represents excellent value at 60-1. Defending champ Patrick Reed. Nobody likes this guy. I'm not a particularly big fan of his either. But at 50-1 as the defending champion, that's great value. So it's obviously tough to go back to back, but that screams value to me.
And he played collegiate golf in Augusta, and he's played that track a lot. I like Reed too.
Absolutely. I do like John Rahm. He seems to be a trendy pick for a lot of people. He's only 18-1, so obviously the books are well aware of him as well. But he always seems like he's in contention. And the other guy I like is Mark Leishman. Yes. So 50-1, I think that also represents pretty good value. So those are kind of be my four picks at it. Somebody tweeted at me this evening that the William Hill Sportsbook took an $85,000 bet on Tiger to win at 14-1. So it would be about a $1.1 million payout if Tiger won. And that's like the largest liability on a single golf bet that William Hill has ever had. So somebody tweeted at me, Power Trip Bets, your thoughts. And my response was simply, congratulations, William Hill. So I can't believe that Tiger is like third in the field in terms of odds. I think the bookmakers are just grinning from ear to ear because not only is everybody betting on him, they're getting extremely poor odds on him as well. So even if he were to win, which the chances of that are slim, if he were to win, their liability wouldn't be that big anyway, or as big as it would if he was, say, 50-1 or 40-1. Obviously, they'd lose money because so many people are betting on him. But the chances he wins, he would be the second oldest Masters champion if he won, only to Jack Nicklaus, who won at age 46. He would also be the ninth oldest player to ever win a major. So keep in mind, Tiger is 43 and he hasn't won a major in 11 years. So I'm appalled at the number of people that are dumping money into Tiger Woods for this weekend. What do you think?
I mean, I see both sides of it. I think at 14-1, it's a terrible bet. I think he's probably more around the 16-1 to maybe 22 or 24-1. I think that's really what his value is. It's just his name recognition. People keep putting money on him, so it keeps moving the odds. But I mean, Tiger has won so many times in Augusta. He won the Tour Championship last year. He's kind of revitalized his game. People forget when he came back from the whole, what was his ex-wife or whatever, put the 7-iron in the back of his Cadillac or whatever, and he came back from that after not playing golf, and I think he took top 10. Like, he could not play golf all year and come to Augusta ready to go. Just the place just gets his juices flowing, and he lives for major championships. I think he'll do well. I think he'll make the weekend and probably be top 10, but I don't this week.
Well, if he lives for major championships, he's been dying for the last 11 years. So I was going to quickly look up his recent Masters history. I know he contended a few years ago where he was kind of in the mix on Sunday, but last year he was tied for 32nd. His best finish, he's tied for fourth three times in the last 10 years. That was 2010, 2011, and 2013 that he was tied for fourth.
He showed up pretty well in the British Open last year. He was in contention for a while. But you know what, Chuck? I feel like you're doubting Tiger too much. I think I'm up at least one Kaniac. Will you let me take Tiger at 14-1? 14 Kaniacs to 1 for winning the Masters this weekend.
14 Kaniacs to 1. I will definitely take that bet.
Okay, let's go. let's go, Tiger.
Plus, you can't even finish a Kaniac in one sitting, so if I eat them with you, I'll at least get part of it. So.
Right, yeah, we'll just split it.
All right, well, that will do it for the bets update this week. Let's get on to the quotes.
They're memorable. They're timeless. They'll probably get meat sauce fired. It's time for the quotes of the week.
Power Trip Quotes.
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 All right, it's time for the quotes of the week. And to start it off, we're going to do something that we've never done on the Bets and Quotes podcast. We are going to hand out an honorable mention for quotes of the week. This one came in a little late. It was Carly from yesterday. She had a dynamite quote.
I'm telling you, you don't even know a man. Corey, it's so much easier.
Yeah. Corey, you gotta let a lady finish, okay?
Yikes. Well, sauce, see? Good piece of advice for Tuesday.
Let a lady finish.
Let a lady finish.
I sent it out right away because I was listening live. So sometimes when I'm on my way in, I'll listen live to the show. And then if I hear something funny, I can go back to iHeart because it's like a minute and a half behind my radio. And I can quick screen grab it for, you know, it's fun to tweet the quotes out as the show actually happens so that people can comment on it and stuff. But so that got some late love. All right. Well, we will start at number three with Chris Hockey. He had a suggestion for meat sauce.
You should play some Brian Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting.
You should play a game called Shut the F Up.
Nice.
It's just the classic Hockey, like being so fed up with meat sauce's shit by the end of the day that it's just like, oh, you shut the F up.
Exactly.
Genius. All right. Well, at number two, he had been pushed to his limits. He wasn't going to stand for being mistreated on this damn bus. It's more Hockey at number two.
Where the hell does it matter if it doesn't matter here?
It does matter, just not on our buses.
It matters to me, bitch!
I laughed so hard at that. Oh my God, I was crying.
Oh, that was a great, great segment. And of course, for this episode, I put the liner of, it don't matter.
Genius, genius. Well, speaking of geniuses, at number one this week, it's Paul Pink Lululemon Sweatpants Lambert.
Super hot. None of the three of us are super hot. None of the three of us are hot.
Let alone super hot. And got a little bit of a tan, I would be a 9.5.
That's very generous.
It used to be if he, before he got his teeth, said if I had great teeth and a full head of hair, I'd be a 10.
Yep.
So now it's kind of moved back to 9.5. But I guess he didn't mention the full head of hair.
That's also a classic quote, too, because it's one of the nicest quotes from Corey that you'll hear when he said, that's very generous.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, Corey could have been a little more harsh there.
Absolutely. So Corey was being very nice there.
Way to go, Cor. We're proud of you. All right. And there are your quotes of the week.
It's time for the weekly segment of Your Thoughts. Copyright Dark Star.
And to quote the great Dark Star, down memory lane we go. So 4 years ago, the University of North Dakota was looking for a new name for their team, formerly known as the Fighting Sioux. Now, this was a big deal, of course, because a lot of people didn't want them to get rid of the name. The name was considered controversial in the Native American community. So there was a lot of emotion tied to this. And they went through a process to gather names and look for, you know, a new name to replace the formerly Fighting Sioux. And it got brought up on the Power Trip, and it led to one of the most memorable lines of all time. Definitely, I mean, what do you say for Rosie? Is it Alaskan Pipeline or Magic Fingers? Because to me, it's six of one, half dozen the other.
For me personally, I think it was the Alaskan Pipeline moment. Obviously, you probably think a little different because you were right there for the Magic Fingers one in Vegas last year, but the Alaskan Pipeline bit was so good.
It was definitely 1 and 1A for those two, and the mileage that they got out of the Alaskan Pipeline bit was enormous. It led to a State Fair t-shirt. It went on for a long time. I think it still, to an extent, goes on today with, I think people, when they first come up to Rosie, tend to remind him of the old Alaskan Pipeline comments. So we're going to go down memory lane and revisit it. It was an interesting start to the segment, too, because it began with a little story. You know, I mentioned that they were replacing the formerly Fighting Sioux name. And Parrish told a little story about that whole incident.
The other difference, of course, is they had a nickname.
What was that?
You tell me.
University of North Dakota?
Yeah, what was the old name of that team again? Do you remember?
I learned the very hard way. They were my second or third weekend up at St. Cloud on TV. And I've been calling them their nickname for 15 years. And I didn't think it was mean. I didn't mean to be mean. Excuse me. And I went on, and nobody told me that you can't say that on TV, that you have to call them UND or University of North Dakota.
They've moved on.
So right away, my opening line was, well, the Huskies are going to have trouble with tonight. And, oh, cut. Arms went up, lights went out. I mean, I thought I was fired instantly. I thought I was done.
Whoops.
Sorry, Daddy.
Sorry, Daddy. So Parrish didn't get fired, thankfully, over that little incident. So then Corey set up the process by which they were looking for a new team name.
Point is, Mark Rosen, Mark Parrish, John Bonus, and Meat Sauce, is the University of North Dakota has begun a campaign to find a new nickname.
Really?
How long has this been going on for?
I believe it technically starts today. Submissions will be accepted until the end of April. The names must be 25 characters or less. That's plenty of work if you work on Twitter.
25 characters is a lot.
Looking for nicknames that are, quote, unique, promote pride and strength, represent the state and region, honor the traditions and heritage of the past, and is a unifying and rallying symbol. Well, a lot of people are going, all right, okay. That's a lot.
All right. So that was kind of the parameters of the name. And did you submit a name for the North Dakota hockey team?
I really don't have that many good things to say about the University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks. Obviously, they're our fierce rival here at St. Cloud State Hockey too soon. I just didn't want to help them in any way.
Yeah, I grew up a Gopher fan, and I didn't have a whole lot to offer myself. you know, perhaps we should ask our good friend Tommy Olson if he traveled up to Fargo to, you know, potentially be in North Dakota and assist with the naming process. Probably not.
Probably not.
It's too bad Tommy's not going to the Fargo show next weekend. I bet lots of people would bring paper out for that.
Oh, that would be a clash of tight. You would get mauled.
That would be a great bit. All right. So anyway, back to the story. So Meat Sauce had a list of some of the preliminary names that had been submitted. And when he started to read off this list, I, of course, was in the belief that he had a actual list of team names. Why wouldn't he have the list? He got about two names in when I realized what he was doing.
You know, is that a long list? Is it a short list? Well, Meat Sauce, you actually dug up the list, did you not?
No kidding.
I found it.
These are the submissions so far.
All right.
For the University of North Dakota. These are potential nicknames.
Fantastic.
For North Dakota's new squad.
The night helmets, the glass bottom boats, the Arabian goggles, the anal beads, the space docks, the fish eyes, the Todds, the Tuckers, the Kyles, the Tanners, the Taylors, the Skylers, the Steve's Rims, the Foot Jobs, the Amazon Firestarters, the Taints, the Spread Eagle Steves, the Bruce Valanches, the Hot Carls, the Cleveland Steamers, the Bird Bass, the Bat Wings, the Female Bodybuilders, the Fruit Baskets, the Butt Plugs, the Real Dolls, the Pirate's Cove, the Pocket Peas, the Strangers, the Dutch Rudders, the Double Dutch Rudders, the Chinese finger traps, the tea bags, the Blumpkins, the pink socks, the rusty trombones, the rusty sheriff's badge, the tramp stamps, the balloon knots, the tar stars, the tuxedo thongs, the Alaskan pipeline, the hot lunches, the wristwatches, the toss salads, the skin flutes, or the chindos.
That's a terrible name.
We need an ambulance. Meat Sauce just passed out.
I like the chindos.
Oh, yeah. I think that if I'm Meat Sauce and I ever get fired from KFAN, I take that audio as my resume for my next job.
Absolutely. Mr. Marconi, we got to send that to his way.
He does that better than like the Fan 5 reads on most days.
Hey, he's pretty good at those.
He's getting a lot better at those Fan 5 reads. He actually is doing really good at that. So, which is unfortunate because a lot of the humor comes when he completely butchers them. But So we finally get to the payoff because it was time to ask Rosie if he preferred any of the names that Meat Sauce read off.
Now, hang on. Now, guys, out of that list, which ones do you believe are unique, promote pride and strength, represent the state and the region, honor the traditions and heritage of the past, and are a unifying and rallying symbol?
I like the Alaskan pipeline.
You do?
Yeah, yep. I think that, you know.
I bet you do.
Yeah, they're all under 25 characters as well. My favorite is the double Dutch rudders.
I'm sure it is. I thought a couple other ones would be.
You
I'd
love the
not repeat.
Alaskan pipeline.
It's so fun. You could hear he couldn't wait to say that. Like,
oh, yeah.
He got cut off by Corey. Like, he was going to jump in. Like, that one just spoke to him.
It did.
Obviously, Rosie does not know, or he probably knows now, but I don't think he actually knew what the Alaskan pipeline actually means. So for him to say that on the air, even the pitch of his voice, it like went like, I like the Alaskan pipeline. Like, it kind of went off. Like, it was like cartoon voice Rosie.
What's funny about that, too, is they quickly moved on from that, too. You know, that was pretty much the end of the discussion about the North Dakota name, and they moved on to the next topic, and nothing more was really said. And then it kind of took on a life of its own, I think, as people started Googling the Alaskan pipeline, and, you know, they cut up the sound and played it over and over and over, and then listeners, you know, started informing Rosie, hey, I like the Alaskan pipeline. And I wish I could could have found the audio, but I remember one episode in particular about 3 or 4 months later. It was right around state fair time, because this happened on April 1st, 2015. And it was somewhere around state fair time that Rosie was in studio and he had an epic meltdown on the air. And Hockey just kept playing, I like the Alaskan pipeline. I like the Alaskan pipeline. He kept playing the bite over and over. And Rosie was like, I got people coming up to me, walking down the street going, I like the Alaskan pipeline. He was like, you play that all the time, Hawk. And he just went on this epic rant against Hockey. It was priceless. So, yeah, led to that State Fair t-shirt that year. I wish they had stuck with the I Like the Alaskan Pipeline. Instead, they went with the Rosie and Sons Pipeline Company, which wasn't quite as funny, but it probably met the approval of Lawyer Lambert. So
Chuck, do you know where the Alaskan Pipeline term was invented?
I do not.
It was invented at the University of Iowa.
Really?
In 2001. That's a fun fact.
That is a fun
should
fact.
Should I say what the definition is, since this is a podcast?
You're more than welcome to, more than welcome to point people awkward? To Google.
All right, I'm just going to say it. So, the Alaskan pipeline is the act of pooping into a condom, freezing it overnight, and then inserting it into one's anus.
Yeah.
So
be careful with that, kids.
that is what Mark thought that he.
And he likes that, apparently, as he has said over and over and over on the show.
To each his own.
Still doesn't quite, you know, of all the lines that I thought would, because I like the Alaskan pipeline. Every once in a while, it comes up, and they still reference it. The one that died a quick death that I still have not figured out if they got paid off or what. Was the I Want Me Some Glory Hole by Jerry Jones. That was an all-timer. Because talk about something that he had no awareness of whatsoever.
Yeah, that is there's a big conspiracy there. They probably got paid off. Sasha and Jordans or something.
You know. I know. Because Jerry's paying off people all the time for all of his malfeasance. So, don't know what happened to that. But yes, that is our little trip down memory lane. That is the origin story of the Alaskan Pipeline. If you see Rosie in person, make sure you tell him that you also enjoy the Alaskan Pipeline. He loves to hear that. So, all right, well, next up, because all we do on this show is just steal bits from the Power Trip, if you haven't figured that out by now. I was going to watch the gymnastics video of the girl breaking her legs yesterday. And then after they hilariously brought in person after person after person to get their reaction, I thought, hey, Dave, have you seen the video? Your answer was no. Why don't we do live reactions on our podcast for the whole public to get our reaction? So
I was so torn between like being super pissed at you because I don't like watching stuff like this. But the other side of it's like,
genius. Like, what a great idea.
We got to try it. I'm at the point, too, this has been so sold that I'm like, I'm almost nervous to watch it. Because usually, like, stuff like that doesn't gross me out too bad. I still remember the Napoleon McCallum. I think that's one of the worst ones where his knee just went the wrong way. And, yeah, usually they don't freak me out too bad. But I'm almost nervous to watch this, given all the reactions we heard yesterday. Who wants to go first? You want to go first or you want me to go first?
Or do we do it at the same time?
Well, I'm just afraid our screams might overlap each other. So
okay, I'll go first.
You'll go this first. So all weird. Right. So clickbait, you're getting two extra clicks out of this podcast, so I hope you appreciate it.
Yeah, and there's a warning here at the top of KFN.com. This is on the Power Trip page. It's about 7 or 8 articles down. There is a warning here. It's horrific, terrible. You'll never unsee this. Proceed at your own discretion, which genius.
Yes.
Genius there, clickbait. So without further ado, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
An aerospace engineering major.
Aerospace, nice. Such an
impressive young lady. Let's see how high she flies right
no.
here.
No!
Oh, my God. No!
The guy, if you can hear it, I think she may be hurt as her... Oh, my God.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Oh, my God. Thanks, John.
Okay, now I'm even more nervous after your reaction.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm sweating right now.
And it's amazing how everybody, including you, laughs afterwards. I think it's just, like, that nervous, like, I got to do something. Right. So I'm gonna laugh. All right. Am I ready to click play here?
Send it.
All right. Oh, God. It's rolling. Oh, wait. Maybe my internet just froze up. That would actually be a good thing.
No. Come on, internet. 5G.
What's up with your page, clickbait? Oh, here we go. Oh, no. No, just stay right there. Don't run. Don't run. Don't jump. Don't. Ah! Oh, 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 the symmetry is amazing, though, you know, like, they both, right. Like, yeah, oh, oh.
Yeah, like, she didn't get docked any points for that.
Oh, ow, 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 ow. Gets me ready for football season, though, right?
Right, yeah. The EJ Henderson injury doesn't seem as bad anymore.
The worst thing about that is when Lieber talks about how it just sounded like a gun going off. Like, I just
right,
have
Hawk
this...
said that too. That was so weird.
Oh, like, I just have this image of it, you know. Ugh. It's just horrific. But every once in a while, I like those where, like, they get the dislocated pinky and it's pointing the wrong way. So, yeah. Kind of...
Yeah, that really gets my juices flowing.
Yeah, of course, Sauce would be the last person that would like a dislocated pinky, so.
Great point.
Great point. All right, I think it's time we did a trivia, so.
Hey, Rubes, would you like to prove that you listen to the Power Trip better than Meat Sauce? It's time for Stump the Rubes.
All right, it's time for trivia, Power Trip trivia. Our new question this week is... Chris Hockey was the lead singer for the band RYZ in his early 20s. What was the name of their most popular song?
Ooh, I don't believe... I know one of their songs, but I don't know if it's the right answer or not. So that is an excellent question. So if you know what RYZ's most popular song was... feel free to send that answer to powertripbets@gmail.com. And of course, you'll be awarded our standard prize of a drink the next time we see you in person somewhere, either State Fair, Vegas, or somewhere in between. Or it'll just be a drink that we forever owe you if we never actually see you in person. So yeah, powertripbets@gmail.com if you know Chris Hockey's most popular hit with RYZE.
And as a bonus, next week when we give out the answer, I'm gonna sing a couple of verses of the song. And
nice.
Throw on a wig here. I got a rainbow wig here in the closet.
Beautiful.
Toss that on, and I'm gonna get into full hawk mode here.
See, you would have done good in the '90s, the decade, not the nightclub.
Right. Well, yeah, the decade. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at PowerTripQuotes.
And I, of course, am at PowerTripBets. You'll find me either there or at Bovada betting on the road NHL team. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you think we're hideous, please lie.